CJLO 1690 AM. This is Grade A Explosives, and that was some Bonnie Trash for you with Red Right Hand, which is a cover of a Nick Cave song. So it's kind of like I'm cheating a little bit in order to get some more Bonnie Trash onto the show. So I hope you don't mind. And even if you do, I don't kind of care because it's my show and I can do what I like. Before that, you heard some Witch Rot with Spineless from over in Toronto. Witch Rot. Yes, Witch Rot, the same band who said their lead singer or their drummer died or something. And then they got back together. I don't know what the deal with that was. Very weird. Before that, some Tribunal with The Penitent off of Penitence and Ruin. A grin from over in Germany, Beneath the Altar off of Acid Gods. Very good record. You should definitely check it out. Mayors of Thrace, speaking of very good records, The Loss. That was a track called Disenfranchised Grief. And then some Rivers of Nile with Rivers of Nile off of Rivers of Nile. Yeah, a trifecta. I love trifectas. They're my favorite. Now, I just said that I played you some Bonnie Trash covering Nick Cave. So it's like it's Bonnie Trash, but it's also not Bonnie Trash, so that I could better transition into the Bonnie Trash portion of the show. But I guess by playing it, I already transitioned into the Bonnie Trash portion of the show. Oh, well. The point is, we are in the Bonnie Trash section of the show now. They stopped by when they were here for M4 Montreal doing a free session where, if you missed it, well, that's on you. It's not on me. They played with Dermabrasion. It was a hand-drawn Dracula showcase. And they came in the day afterwards and did a session at CJLO. And they came in, they did a session. We did an interview. It was like a whole thing. It was a whole afternoon. Very pleasant, very nice. They are a delight, I have to tell you. If you ever get a chance to meet them at a show that they do, you should, and say hello, and they'll be a delight, even though they are terrifying to watch on stage, which we will kind of cover in a little bit. The one thing that I should do here is, and I said that I would do this, is I clipped out a little part to kind of intro this interview, so I'll play that, and then we'll get into the first part of this interview with Bonnie Trash. Keep it locked, CJLO 1690 AM.
Just a side note, this should have a trigger warning in terms of talking about death and grief for people who are listening.
Hey, everybody, it's Andrew. I am joined here by a foursome that came in here and did a foursome, huh? I apologize for that. A job of laying down some amazing tracks, which you probably heard or will hear. I don't know how I'm going to structure the show. Anyway, the point is, you may know them from such things as Red Rosary and an indie psych band that I didn't get the name of. I apologize in advance for at least three of you from Red Rosary. But they are Bonnie Trash. I will let them introduce themselves so you can get a voice to the name. So tell the people who you is and what you do's in Bonnie Trash.
Okay, cool. I am Amalia Bordelon Vitor, and I am the guitarist in Bonnie Trash.
I'm Serafina Bordelon Vitor, and I'm the singer and lyricist, co-songwriter with Amalia Bordelon Vitor, who is also my sister.
Convenient.
Yeah, super convenient.
I'm Emma Howarth Withers. I'm the bass player in Bonnie Trash.
And I'm Dana Bellamy, and I play the drums.
All right, we're off to a good start, I think. I think we're in here. I like structure in my interviews, so I'm going to start off the same way I start off all my interviews. What's a question that you don't want to be asked or you're tired of answering? If I have it on this list, I'll strike it. You won't have to address it. You won't have to think about it.
I'm sure. I mean, maybe we could mention it if it comes up.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
There we go.
A retroactive one. Okay.
Yeah, we'll do it. We'll do it. We'll pass on that.
Pass on that.
It's fine. I'm excited that you didn't immediately go, please don't ask us what it's like to be a woman in music. Because that is a very popular one that comes up.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
All pass. The time. Okay.
Yeah. Well, right. No. I don't know. I think it's still valid.
Yeah.
It changes every day.
Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah. Changes every day.
I mean, as it does for us all, I think.
Absolutely. Sometimes we'll want to answer it and sometimes we don't.
Yeah.
Well, I don't have it, so you won't have to think about it.
Cool.
I think it's a lazy question.
I think so too.
Well, let's talk about you guys. You have a new EP that just came out, which is very good. I'm very impressed with it. But let's go back in time a little bit, back to Malocchio and to Ezzelini's dead. Is that, I say that right? Did I say it right?
Great job. Okay. Thank you. Yeah.
Oh man.
Nailed it.
I'm doing good on Italian. No, I'm not. But it's interesting because looking at a bunch of interviews that you've done before, it seems like you could have easily like got yourself into kind of a corner where you have an EP and an album that's kind of centered around similar themes, and then you just kind of continue to roll with that same theme as you go on. But it seems like you've broken out, at least with the Hail Hail and My Love Remains the Same. There we go. Got it. Nailed it.
Got it.
From your first kind of two releases to these, did you change how you approached writing? What is kind of the writing process like for all of you now?
Yeah, it's a really, really great question. In the early days of Bonnie Trash, Emma and I, we were sort of a duo, and we essentially just wanted to get together to play more heavier music. And we sort of realized through, you know, self-reviewing and self-reflection that some of our family stories were actually quite terrifying or horrifying in a sense, like spooky sort of scary stories. And so, you know, thinking about, okay, we really wanted to play more heavier, darker music, and we have all these like stories that we really, really cherish and love, even though they are a little scary. And we kind of wanted to build upon those two themes. So that was sort of the essence of Bonnie Trash at the beginning.
Yeah, definitely. I think what has significantly changed is the stories have run out. Our Nona Maria passed away. And so I think that's where things changed. With Ezzelini's dead, we would always hear this story about Ezzelino da Romano and, you know, the stories of him being a cannibal. And so for us, we couldn't fully tell the story. So our Nona would tell the story. And then we would imagine a world that would become it in a sonic landscape. And that was the same thing with Malocchio. We're like, oh, okay, Nona, you got to tell us these stories of Malocchio. And it was special to us because we would hear it in her dialect. And that dialect is disappearing. So for us, it was this really fun way to collaborate with our Nona. And then the stories stopped because we didn't hear the other stories. So that was a shift in our writing too, because it was almost this, we don't have those ghost stories, but now we have to write new ghost stories. I think in the process where we're at now with, especially My Love Remains the Same, it's on missing someone. I really miss her. She was amazing. So I think that's what really changed. Our songwriting process has also changed throughout the years too, mainly because we're getting older and time changes as well. So for a lot of our new stuff, it has started where, Sarah, you have some lyrics or you start with a beat and then I write something really bizarre on top and then we work through with it. But instead of writing together in a room, a lot of it has turned into a new method where we're laying down sonic ideas and then revisiting them, which is, I think, is a new method for us. And it's been interesting.
Yeah, or jam out sort of an instrumental piece and kind of go, oh, you know what, that sounds like a verse or that sounds like a chorus. And in terms of themes too, like, of course, you know, the death of our Nona Maria greatly impacted songwriting. The thing is too, is like, you know, when you lose someone that you love, you experience grief, but it's also kind of like in this sort of, not new realm, but in this current moment, thinking about how the horror genre really ties into grief and experiencing sort of haunting moments every day. And that is caused from grief as well.